C.S. Lewis described the Christian life with one of his marvelous analogies. He said, inviting Jesus into your life is sort of like inviting a plumber into your house to fix a leaky faucet, only to discover that the plumber tears the whole house down and builds a new one. So Lewis cautioned us about inviting Jesus into our life and not being prepared to do what Jesus wants to do. A sincere commitment to Christ brings about a revolution in the human life. In January, when Pastor David and I laid out the preaching calendar for the spring season, we wanted to talk about the vision frame and bring that up once again to help you understand what the vision, what we believe God is doing in moving this church into the process of being a flourishing church. As Kathy mentioned, on last Sunday, David talked about worship. I want to talk today about the Grow Ministry, becoming the people God recreated us to be, and how we participate with God in that process of Him tearing down our life and building a new one. Marvelous concept. When I thought about this message this morning, any number of passages came to mind. There are so many different places where the Scriptures talk about God's process of reproducing His life in ours. I settled on Colossians 3 for two reasons. One is it's the most thorough. Paul gives a detailed explanation of how we move from who we were before Christ came into our life to who God wants us to be as Christ, through the Holy Spirit, does His work in our life. A second reason I wanted to use this particular passage is because Paul was refuting a dangerous error in the church at Colossae. Some false teachers had come in and were teaching the Colossian Christians that the Christian life is all about ceremonialism and ritualisms and pursuing some higher brand of knowledge, and essentially discrediting some of the claims that Paul had made about Jesus Christ. So Paul was concerned for this church that as they tried to be the people of God, they were running down the wrong path. And it doesn't matter how fast you run down the wrong path, it ain't never going to get you to the right destination. So the concern Paul had was, how do I help these people understand who Jesus Christ is? And how do I help these people understand what a powerful influence He wants to have and can have in their life if they will cooperate with the power of God as He transforms them into new kinds of people, as individuals and as a congregation? And Paul actually prayed one of his prayers that we find in the New Testament for the Colossians. He said, I have not ceased praying for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives that are worthy of Him. Wow. So that you may live a life that's worthy of who God has created you to be. And secondly, not only that you would lead lives fully pleasing, worthy of the Lord, but that you would live lives fully pleasing to Him. I'm not going to try that again. All right? So Paul is concerned that these people rise up, that the lives they live are worthy of who they are as Christians. And that as they live out their life before God, God would say, I am fully pleased with how you're living your life. And so in Colossians chapter 3, Paul laid out a diagram, laid out an explanation of what the Christian life looks like, of how God is at work in you and me as we live out this life as Christians. He wrote this, since then you have been raised with Christ, writing to Christians, since then you have been raised up with Christ, seek things above where Christ is seated at God's right hand. And set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, clothe yourselves or put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with grateful hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wow. A lot here. I wanted to introduce this chapter to you for your continued reading and meditation and contemplation. There's more here than we could possibly address in 20 minutes. So I'm not going to try. But I would invite you to spend the rest of your life meditating on what God has done when the Holy Spirit entered your life, when you accepted the love and forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ and confessed your sins to him and accepted his free gift of salvation. That moment changed you. And some of us thought we were inviting God into our life to fix a leaky faucet. God said, I'm not about leaky faucets. Oh, I'm about leaky faucets, but I'm about so much more than that. So the focus of this chapter that I would like to draw to our attention this morning is found in verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Step 1. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. So, putting off the old, taking on the new. The imagery here is actually of clothing. taking off the old, the soiled garments, the garments that make you smell bad, the garments that make you do bad, and put on the new garments, which is the power of God to turn you into the person God intends for you and me to be. You have taken off your old self and put on your new self. So verses 5 through 9 actually command us to take off our old self. It's an interesting combination of you have taken it off when you became a Christian. Romans 6 tells us that the power of sin over us has been removed. But now we have to grow into or grow out of that old way of life. And so Paul is saying, you have taken off your old self of its practices, and so put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And this is not a pretty picture. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all these things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, abusive language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Stop. This is the stuff that destroys life. It destroys marriages. It destroys homes. It destroys churches. Put it away. Stop it. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, said to me, and you. This is the stuff that destroys. So, put it off. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, live the life that God is allowing you and empowering you to live. Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. That old self I nailed to the cross. He wrote, be a living sacrifice. Put yourself on the altar of God's grace and say, I don't want to be a destructive person. I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to be an unforgiving person. That's not who God has created me to be. Get rid of that stuff. There was, when we planted a church in Austin, Texas, we were just a group of folks starting this thing up, and we were selecting elders, and one of the gentlemen who had helped us start the church wanted to be an elder. And as we investigated and interviewed and talked to his family and to his co-workers, we found out that he was a believer, but he hadn't put off some of these old habits. And so we asked him if he would wait a year and enter into a discipleship relationship with one of the other men in the church who had been further down the path than he was. And over that year, as this gentleman got into God's Word and began to pray, and he got into one of our home fellowship groups and made himself accountable to some of the other folks in that group, and they prayed with him and prayed for him, and some of them held him accountable for some of his language and some of his activities. It took 2 years. But over 2 years, we saw this new Christian be transformed by putting off the old. Things, some habits, he said, I've had these habits for years. I can't imagine being able to not do these things. I've tried everything I could find to help me with those. But finally, he discovered something that worked. The power of Christ to put off the old self. But Paul didn't stop there. In verse 10, Paul teaches us to constantly be putting on our new self. It's one thing to get rid of the old, but it's another thing to put on the new. You have put on the new self, which is always being renewed unto a perfect knowledge in the image of its creator. First, let's look at this idea of our life being constantly, always renewed. What does that look like? What does that mean? Paul said, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. Put up with one another. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And using the imagery of clothing again, he said, you've clothed yourself with these things and now put on the overcoat over all these virtues. Put on love. So, not only are we to be growing out of the old, we are to be growing into the new. It's always being renewed. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed every day. I just would ask you to pause for a moment and think about that statement. Is that true? Of you? Considering your chronological age as a Christian from the time you were reborn until now, is your spiritual maturity equivalent to your spiritual age? If not, Paul said, you're really missing out. You got a bum deal. Or you got a good deal, but you're treating it like it's not true. Outwardly, we're wasting away. I look in the mirror. I say, yeah, I got that one down. But what's happening inwardly? What's happening where it really matters? What's happening in my heart? What's happening to me as a person? What's happening to me as I relate to my dear Jeanette? As I relate to my dear staff fellows here at the church? As I relate to people who offend me? As I relate to the people whom I have defended, or pardon me, offended. Do I defend myself? Do I listen to their complaints? Do I love them even though they may not be loving me right now? We are being renewed day by day. We are being renewed unto a perfect knowledge in the image of the one who created this new person. Paul uses an interesting word, epinosis. Now you may be familiar with the word gnosis, knowledge. Epinosis is knowledge on steroids. It's super knowledge, in the exact knowledge, in the full knowledge, in the active knowledge through experience. You are being perfected in the knowledge and being transformed into the image of Christ, becoming more like Christ as you come to know him better. What a fantastic concept unto a perfect knowledge. Second Peter wrote, God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. This knowledge of God is a transforming knowledge. So we ask the question, how then do we actually put off the old self and put on the new self? Well, Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If I were to go out to a grapevine and break off a branch and come and put it in my greenhouse and give it the ideal temperature and the ideal moisture, would it produce grapes? Well, it's a grape branch. Why wouldn't it? Well, Jesus said, no, it won't. Because the power to produce grapes is not in that branch. The power to produce grapes is in the vine, which is connected to the roots. And as the roots pull sustenance out of the earth, and as that energy and that life moves up through the vine and into the branches are able to bear fruit. If you break one of those branches off, it is incapable of doing what it was created to do. And this imagery Jesus uses says, you are like that branch. Plugged into me, you are plugged into the root. And my life and my energy and my sap flows into you. And only then are you able to produce the fruit. What fruit? Well, Paul tells us in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. I can tell you something, folks. I'm not capable of producing that stuff. It's only as I'm plugged into the power of God's Holy Spirit. It's not the fruit of Sid Buzzell. Ask Jeanette. That's the fruit of the Spirit. I can focus on being more loving, more compassionate, more patient. I can go to seminars. I can do all that stuff that I want to do. But that's not what it's about. And Grow Ministries is not about seminars on compassion or love. It's about teaching us God's Word and how we connect to the vine. The only hope we have as a church to be the people of God is to focus on the root and not focus only on the fruit. Does that eliminate activity? Certainly not. But what are the activities that connect us to the root? If we focus on the activities that are going to make us better people and we keep playing with the fruit and playing with the leaves on the tree and we don't get at the root, nothing will change. He said further, Jesus said, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. As a good person brings good things out of the good stored up in her heart, and an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks out of what the heart is full of. The battle for control is not won or lost at the level of the fruit. The battle for control is won or lost at the level of the root. It's about spending time in God's Word. It's about reflection on how my life corresponds to what I'm reading in the Holy Scriptures. It's about prayer for God's presence, for God's forgiveness, for God's guidance, for this power from God to help us move out of the old life and into the new life. I had a mentor in my life one time named Jack Wurtzen. J. Jack used to teach Bible studies sometimes at West Point. And one cold winter March day, Jack and a West Point student were walking across the campus, and this student had recently become a Christian in one of Jack's Bible studies. And as they were walking along, the student was telling Jack that he had some habits in his life that were driving him crazy. And he had prayed and prayed, and he really wanted to get rid of them. And he would for a while, and then they would come back and some other things. And he would say, what can I do? What can I do? And as they were walking, Jack noticed up in one of the big grand oak trees, if you've ever been on the West Point campus, up above the Hudson River, and the wind just roars across that campus. It was a March day. It was sleeting, raining, that's rainy, sleety stuff, and the wind was howling. And up on the top of this oak tree was a cluster of leaves, just shaking in the wind. Jack said to the student, you see those leaves? They have lasted all winter. It's March. They've lasted through the snows and the cold and the storms and the wind, but they're hanging on. And in a month or two, on a calm, sunny, mild day, those leaves will fall off. Why do you think that's so? The student thought for a few minutes and said, well, it's the new sap coming up into the tree will push the old life out. Oh, he said to Jack, what you're telling me is that as Jesus transforms me, the old will go away. I don't get rid of the old leaves by focusing on the old leaves. I get rid of the old leaves by focusing on the new life. Put away the old. Put on the new. That's what Grow Ministries is about. We have adult education classes. There's a class going on right now with Pastor Dr. Den Denning teaching in church history right over there in the library. We have children's ministry there and there with Jerry and her staff. We have the youth student ministry with Ryan and his staff. We have groups that will be starting in a few weeks with Andrew and Denise Sanderson leading those. We have membership classes where we try to orient you to what the church is about. We have women's ministry. Kathy Kobe is heading that up. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, there's a Bible study right here in our library going on. We have the men's ministry. We just had a marvelous breakfast with Harry and his team put on with over 80 men coming. And we have leadership orientation. All of these things are designed to teach us the Scriptures, to help us grow, to help us be the people who God wants us to be. My dad moved to Florida, and he was a gardener for life. And he had orange and grapefruit trees in his backyard. And he was so excited about that. And he would pick his grapefruit and do all that stuff. But he had an orange tree on the back corner that you'd take the orange, you'd open it up and bite it, and yuck, it was terrible. And so he asked his neighbor. The neighbor lived in Florida for a long time. And he said, well, his neighbor said, what you need to do is graft some branches from my tree out to your tree, and it'll be fine. Well, my dad did that. It didn't work. So he called the agriculture department. Somebody came over and they looked at the tree, did stuff. I don't know what they do. But they dug in the ground, took a soil sample. And he said, there's something down here, whether it's a leaky sewer pipe or something, is infecting the soil here. And so he said this, the problem isn't with the branches, the problem is with the root. And he said this, as is the root, so is the fruit. Put off the old by putting on the new. Sink your roots deep into God's Word. Sink your roots deep into a personal, growing, interactive, dynamic relationship with the living Christ through reading His Word, through prayer, through meditation, through communing with other Christians. That's what Grow Ministries is about. Our prayer is that we all become involved in putting off the old and putting on the new.